सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं। शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रुन् करणे। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। One of the underlying thought of Bhajagovindam is renounce, give up those temptations, those desires which keep us grounded to this world. So renounce those. That was one thought. Then other is that seek the satsang of noble, or have a company with Bhagwan. Because again, even when you do that, then also you will easily give up the detachment or give up the attachment to the world. And then another thought was presented is how by practicing the spiritual path, people have reached that state of self-realization. And then what is that state of self-realization? When they have reached there, how they have lived in that state? Yogi yoga niyojita citta ramate balon mattava deva. So they seem as though that they are childish or mad, but they're not. They are completely engrossed in the thought of the self. So this different way that self-realization has been described. So the verse that we will see today is what is one other way to gain this self-realization? And that is also quickly. How do you quickly get self-realization? So that technique is told of quick self-realization. But then the disciple is saying that, you know, all this thing has been happening and people are getting angry. So in order to tell them that, why are you getting angry at me? I have not told you anything wrong. Kind of telling that idea. So we'll see the verse meaning and then we'll see what is being told.
Tvai mai chanyatrai ko Vishnuhu. Vyartham kupyasi mai asaheshnuhu. Bhava samachitta sarvatra tvam. Vanchasya chiradya diveshnuhutvam. Tvai mai chanyatrai ko Vishnuhu. Vyartham kupyasi mai asaheshnuhu. Bhava samachitta sarvatra tvam. Vanchasya chiradya diveshnuhutvam. Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate.
Tvai, in you, Mai, in me, Cha, and Anyatra, and everywhere else. So, in you, in me, and in everywhere else, Ekaha Vishnuhu. There is one Lord, one Vishnu. We're not different. Vyartham kupyasi. Without any reason, without in vain, you are getting angry. Kupyasi. Mai kupyasi. You are getting angry on me. And you are asahishnu. Impatient fellow. You are an impatient person and therefore you are getting angry at me in vain. Yadi, if Vishnutvam achirad vanchasi, if you are desiring Vishnutva, that state of or the abode of Lord Vishnu, and that also achirad, in very fast speed, no more hasten slowly, quickly you want it, then you should do this. Tvam sarvatra samachittaha bhava. You be equanimous everywhere. So this is the shloka meaning. Now, some interpretation that can go in is, you know, all this time, all these sannyasis are telling the people of this world, you should become dispassionate, you should focus on Bhagwan, you should do satsang. Says, if I do all of this, when am I going to take time to do things at work or do things at home? And getting angry over things. Looking at that anger boiling up into these people, the verse may have come out. That, vyartham kupyasi, you are getting angry for no reason. But there are some good points also in there. Kupyasi, getting angry. But who is getting angry? It says, asahishnuhu kupyasi. So the idea is that when we get angry, it is almost always because we are impatient. Anger is caused by that impatience, that we are not able to reason out or we are not able to think it through, and it just comes up as a burst of emotion. Therefore, do not be impatient when we are in the state of anger. We should not get impatient. Or if we are impatient, hold off. For a moment, just find that peace zone and go into that peace zone so that the emotion surpasses you. And once that wave has passed, then you come out and tell what you need to tell. Because normally what happens is whatever we say in anger is never going to be right. And then we will regret, why even I said all the things I said? Because I really didn't mean it. It was just a reflection of somebody else's anger. And then I just continued that. So when we are angry, we should not be impatient. And one thought I remembered from high school times. In here only, high school, Palatine High School, there used to be a professor, and he was a chemistry teacher. And all of a sudden he would be teaching, and something would happen, like a child would not listen, or he's doing something and the child is doing something. He would get really flared up. And then in the middle of the class, he would start counting down, 10, 9, 8. And some of us would wonder, you know, how from chemistry he goes to math. But that was his way of calming down. Something flared up, so he would calm himself down. So when anger comes, we should try to calm ourselves down before doing anything. But the other thought is that you can calm the anger also by knowing the truth. By knowing what is causing us to get angry, then also we can calm ourselves down. Because once you know the truth, then that will lead you to a right thinking. And as soon as you go into search for truth, you have to give up the emotion to go to that search. You have to give up your anger to go and search for that truth. So as soon as you go away, your anger subsides, goes down. So what is the truth here that one must have to understand? That this person, or these people who are getting angry, are getting angry because of their desires. Kama is leading to their fulfillment. And if it is not being fulfilled, then it is going to lead to krodha. So the krodha is coming from not fulfillment of kama. And when somebody is constantly hammering on this thought that kama is waste, you do not go for kama. Obviously somebody is going to be angry. But then why is there a kama? A desire is there because we have considered ourselves as different. There's a bheda. You, I, all are different. And because all are different, therefore, I want to achieve something that the other didn't achieve. I want to acquire that which has not been acquired by everybody else. I want to be different. I want to be unique. I want to be special. So there is a bheda ajnana. Ignorance of differences. And this bheda ajnana leads me to see that all are different. So twayi, in you, this is what the disciple is saying, that in you, the people of this world, and in me, is there is one Vishnu, there is one self. But that is living being. We can easily relate that there is one Vishnu. But then says, anyatra, cha, and in all other things, meaning that which is sentient and that which is not sentient, inert. So even in a table, chair, walls, picture frame, camera, all of this is also Ekah Vishnu. So how to understand Ekah Vishnu? Two ways we can take. Vishnu is one who is everything. One who has become everything. So this Lord only has manifested as the sentient humans or sentient animals, beings and all these, and insentient matter. So that Vishnu alone is everybody. So why are you seeing this as a different? You and I are the same. Before also this thought was mentioned that you and I are brothers, bratah, and I'm giving you this message as my brother. So when we say somebody is a brother, that means we are saying what? Our parents are the same. So our parent is nothing but this Lord. So we are brothers like that. So if you take it to mean Vishnu means the Almighty Lord, then that also makes sense. There is only one Bhagwan, and we are all the subjects of that Bhagwan. Therefore, there is no difference between you and I. And if you want to take it to the Vedanta level, then you say that Ekah Vishnu is that Satchidananda Swarupa. Vishnu is that Satchidananda Swarupa. Because the word Vishnu means that which pervades Vyapakatva. So that which pervades is also Vishnu. So that Satchidananda Self is only pervading you, is only pervading me, and is only pervading the objects of the world. So, O Asahishnuhu, the disciple saying that, O you impatient being, if you understand this truth, Vyartham Gupyasi, why is there a reason for you to get angry? How can you get angry over a thought of you yourself? How can you be angry on your own self when you see your extension as this whole creation? Or when you see yourself in everything? You should not get angry, because who is going to do harm to who? Who is going to outweigh who? Nobody. Because you are everything. Therefore, others' success, also you will be happy. And in your success also you will be happy. In others' failure you will also be sad. And in your failure also you will be sad. Because you are not seeing the difference that way. There is no reason for you to grieve. There is no reason for you to cry for no reason. Vyartham kupyasi. Now if you can give that up, then you have come to one greater understanding. That if you give up this understanding of Twai, Mai, that we are different, you, I, all these objects are different, if you can give that up, then you have come to a level of what is called as Samachitta, an equanimous state of mind. And if you stay like that, bhava, if you become like that, then in no moment in time you will attain self-realization. There is very nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14. Sama dukkha sukha swastha sama loshta shmakanchana. 14 also is there. Yes. So, samadukha sukha swastaha, samaloshtashma kanchanaha, tulya priya priyodhiraha, tulya nindatma samstutihi. What is the sarvatra samata? Seeing oneness or seeing equanimity everywhere. So if you look at the equanimity at the level of all these objects of the world, so be like samaloshta ashma kanchana. We value gold more, and then stone, and then a clay. But they're all the same, because they're all earthly metal. They all have same significance. The only reason why we consider gold as valuable is because it is scarce. If we run out of it. If dirt was also scarce, we would have considered dirt to be valuable. But all we are doing is trading that object which is very rare. It is like those baseball cards that people trade. And they make money out of it. But is that value any real? It is not real. That is not real. And the one who has considered this notion that it is also a metal, and if it is a metal, it doesn't matter to me, and is happily able to part away with it if one needs to part away, that is called samatha at the material level. There was one person who was riding a boat, and with him there was one pandit who was also riding a boat. And this man was proclaimed as a renunciate and wearing all those clothes also, ochre robe and everything. And he's traveling. And this pandit commented, you are a sannyasi. Why are you carrying a silver pot with you? What does a sannyasi need a silver pot for? It is understandable that me as a pandit carrying the silver pot is there because I need it. I'm a gruhasthi, so I carry it. But sannyasi needing a silver pot? So then the sannyasi did. He took that silver pot and just put it in the river and let it go. He says, now are you willing to give this up? Meaning he was also carrying one silver pot. Are you willing to give up yours? And this guy said, nothing, no. He says, that is the difference. That it really didn't matter to me if it was silver or I needed it because I had to carry some items. I will get another one. I'm not tied by it. But you are tied by your own pot that you cannot get away with it. You cannot get rid of it. Samaloshtashmakanjana. Then sama sukha dukha priya apriya. When the likes and dislikes are there, likes being fulfilled gives result to sukha, and dislike being fulfilled gives result to dukkha. And one who is equanimous in both is equanimous. Meaning, this is at the level of mind. One is at the level of material object, other is at the level of mind. So one is equanimous. Sukha comes, it is not pressing on the mind. dukkha comes, it is also not pressing on the mind. It is like that superficial flow that happens. And one is just going through it, but not really getting impacted by that. Enjoying the ride as it goes along. So sukha doesn't impress a person, and dukkha also doesn't impress a person. Sama dukkha sukha, swastha. Swastha, established in oneself. Therefore, he is able to have the sukha and dukkha as equanimous. And tulya ninda atma samsthatihi. If one is criticizing ninda, or if atma samsthatihi, or is praising oneself, or praising others, that mana and apamana, that is what it is talking about, is at the level of intellect. Where do we keep our mana, the pride? Is with the ego. The ego is the one says that I am this being and I demand this respect. And when we are respected, we say, yes, I have now felt a worth, or I have now understood that there is a worth for what I do. And when a person is criticized, at that time we say that, how can that person criticize me? In my eyes, I have done so many great things. And the world has no regard for what I have done. One who is equanimous even in that. I have samatha there also. So body, mind and intellect, both are all of them, there is equanimity. And when such an equanimity is there, you have surrendered your PFT. You have surrendered your ego. You have surrendered that self which is making you ignorant individual. And as soon as we give that up, achirad muktaha, in no time one becomes self-realized, Vishnutva. One becomes that all-pervasive self. All we have to do is give up this notion of sukha, dukkha, mana, apumana. Easier said than done. We can easily say, yes, give this up. But then the true test comes is when we have to give it up. And when we have to give it up, why it feels so pressing is because we have not had given much thought to it. We had not given this idea in our mind that what is really worth it? What is this worth? What is more important? That we have not considered. And therefore we get confused. Should I give it up? Is it wise to give it up? Is it not wise to give it up? For some, giving money is easier. They'll say, I'll give you whatever you want. Give your time. I cannot give. Time is money. So I make money that way, and then I'm willing to give. But then for others, time, you tell me however much time you want. I'll come and service. Money I will not. So, you find both kinds. But the point is not that you're willing to give or not give. The point is, what is holding us back? And that which is holding us back is we're not seeing the equanimity. We're seeing that one is important than the other. When what is important in front of us, we have not considered, obviously we'll be in confusion. But if we are clear that there is only one Vishnutva, there is only one self, and without this self, nothing else really matters, decision becomes really simple, really easy. So, bhava samachitta. That same idea now is brought about with the next shloka. So let us see that.
Shatrau mitre putre bandhau Ma kuru yatnam vigraha sandhau Sarvasminnapi pashyatmanam Sarvatrotsruja bhedajnanam Shatrau mitre putre bandhau Ma kuru yatnam vigraha sandhau Sarvasminnapi pashyatmanam Sarvatrotsruja bhedajnanam Bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam Govindam bhajamudhamate
Shatro In an enemy Mitre In a friend Putre In a son or in a child, bandhau in relative. Ma kuru yatnam, do not put any effort to do vigraha, to have enmity, to have that vicious nature of fighting, or sandhau to build a relation. To maintain a relation with them, to have a sandhi, to have a friendship with them. Do not put any effort in all of this. Then what should we put effort in? Sarvasmin api pashya atmanam. In all things, just see the self. This is how samachitta also can come. Just in everybody you see the self. You see yourself as an extension in all. Yourself, the Satchidananda Swarupa, as an extension in all. And sarvatra utsruja. Break down or give up the bheda agnyanam. The ignorance which has been created out of, or difference which has been created out of ignorance. That you give up, you renounce everywhere. This is the way to become samachitta. So shatru in an enemy, do not put effort to maintain the animosity. Ma kuru yatnam, give it up. Once, there was a boy who came home with a black eye and went to a mom. So mom asked, you know, what happened? Who gave you this? So the boy said, mom, you don't get anything in this world without a fight. So don't put any effort to maintain that fight. Just give it up. Renounce this idea that I have to keep my enemy closer than my friend. When Bhagavan Ramchandra ji, he fought, he had the animosity with Ravan. Not animosity, but he considered him as, you know, an opponent. But Ravan had an animosity with Ramachandra. And we see many times that Ravan failed and Bhagavan Ramachandra ji would say, okay, you go back, come and be rejuvenated. Now, there is no enemy who would tell you that. When the person is down, kick him so hard that he can never get up. That is the rule of being in war. So he gives an opportunity to let him get back up. But the greatness that we see of Bhagavan Ramchandra ji is that when the time came to do Shraddha for his father, he called Ravan, because Ravan was a priest. He knew how to perform these rites. So he goes and calls Ravan and says, "Can you perform these rites for me?" It would require a lot of courage to face a person like that and to follow what that person is saying in performing all the actions. And he willingly went and asked him for this. That should show that he never considered Ravan as an enemy outside of the situation that made him bad. A person was only bad because the mind was like that. That mind was a little vicious or negative. Therefore, it was like that. But a person was not like that. So once he even died, once Ravan died, he went to the last rites also. He helped Vibhishan perform all the last rites. So animosity ended the moment the mind left the body. I have no more animosity with him. I have no more animosity with him to drag him such a way that would humiliate all the people. But in the name of animosity, people do so many things. I will make sure that that person is ruined. Why? Because he showed me down in front of a group of people. I will make sure that he is now suffered for what he did. And then we go bent out of shape to make those things possible. And we forget the thing that which is very essential. Or ma kuru yatnam sandhav, mitre sandhav. In a friend, the effort we put to build that friendship, don't put that effort. Meaning, don't put effort where the friendship should be very natural. And if you have to put an effort to maintain a friendship, consider it is not going to last any long. Because in order for you to maintain a friendship, you have to change according to their terms. You may change for a little bit, but after that it will get over you and you will not be able to. So that friendship was never there. Though we wanted to see it, was never there. And all we did was wasted our time just maintaining that relation. Okay. Understandable with Shatru and Mitra. Putre, in your own child, not to consider any, not to put any effort in maintaining that relation, that is a little outrageous. My own child, how can I not? This idea was actually presented in one of the other groups, the group meetings I was in. And this father was really, you know, struck. We do all we do for our children so that they can have a better future. And then afterwards I was just thinking to myself, aren't you tying your children to your expectation of better future? For you, that is considered as better future. For the child, it may not be. They may have considered some other better future. And we start planning for that better future even before the child is conceived. Before the child has been born, I want to build a house where this child will grow. And the house we build and put all this effort and then realize that, okay, we have to move or go to a different place. And nowadays, the generation has a very different understanding itself of life. They don't want to be tied in these big, big houses. They feel I'm free in a downtown condominium, two-bedroom apartment. Because I can go anywhere I want to. I can be in things that are happening in this world. I don't want to be in suburbs. So, that's just one example. But there are so many things. There are so many expectations that parents have tied their children with, and they see that expectation is how their children should grow up to be. Why? And if that expectation is built, it will not last. If the child does not see eye to eye with parent, it will not last. It will break away very fast. So all that time that you spend was waste. No effort. I mean, effort has become wasted. That's what will happen. And bandho, relatives. All the relatives that we want to please. Those relatives that, you know, tell good things in the community about us. And if we do not please them, then they will only keep telling these family, they only go to Chinmaya Mission. They have nothing else in their life. They don't know what is social life. Or they don't get along with us very well. Like that, the name spreads across the community. That's what we want. And that's what we don't want to happen. So then we go into their parties and superficially laugh with them. But internally we feel like, where have I got myself stuck into? I was better off in my home, just watching some show or reading some book, and I've stuck myself up with this just so they can say some good things about me. And guess what happens? Some negative thing happens in your life and then they start flip all over. People change. One good thing happens, they will side with that. Next day, another bad thing happens, they will say, okay, this family is like that. They change, they flip from one side to another side, one side to another side. Why unnecessarily maintain that relation? So the idea here is, don't get me wrong, that we should not have relation with children. We should not maintain a relation with our relatives. Maintain the relation, but it says, yatnam, that undue effort that we put to make sure that that relation stays lasting. That is what we should not put an effort into. Because nothing in this world will ever be lasting. Everything is temporary. So enjoy that temporariness. Enjoy that moment with everybody. But while you are enjoying, again, do not forget the self. Pashya atmanam. As you are seeing your enemy, see the self in that enemy. And then transact with that. As you see a friend, transact with that understanding. They are the extension of myself. In a child, in a relative. With that understanding, we will develop a sense of compassion. That I'm okay. I'm peaceful and I don't want to struggle to maintain a relation. And with that peace, we're able to move forward. So, sarvasmin api pashya atmanam. See that self in all and give up the bheda ajnana. Renounce that difference which has been created out of ignorance. Because once you start seeing the self in all, there is no bheda, there is no tvayi, there is no mayi, there is no anyatra, there is no difference. Everything is the same. So this is how we can quickly attain self-realization. When we give up all the differences found in relations, in objects, in beings, places, drop all of them. Keeping the relation of the self intact, that is important. Otherwise, we start giving that up, but then we don't know what to do. Scripture said, don't put effort in maintaining relationship. But then what do I do? No, you stay friends with them. But then to unnecessarily go out of the way to make sure that that friendship is going, that you stop. That you don't do. That's the idea. So more of this we will see with our next class.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.